Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
So you call your virtual insurance company to ask a simple question about your policy, but now you're on hold, listening to this music, while you wait and wait and wait. Auto Owners works with local independent agents who tailor coverage to meet your needs and pick up the phone when you call, because you shouldn't be on hold so long that you memorize the music. That's simple human sense. Ask your independent agent if Auto Owners makes sense for you.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Welcome back to the Gray Bar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Nate Gatter in for Matt Pauley this evening. Kyle Sixta is producing. We're into the second hour of Gray Bar Sports Open Line tonight. Blair Kirkhoff, who covers the Chiefs for the Kansas City Star, will be joining us in about 15 minutes. Frank Cusimano of KSDK to follow after that. I want to touch on a story that's been big around college sports over the last week or two. Really, it's been brewing for longer than that, but this particular angle on the story has heated up in recent weeks, and that is the potential investment of a couple of billions of dollars from private equity into the Big Ten Conference, which in theory is because the Big Ten Conference, one of two conferences in college sports, in particular in college football, because ultimately that's really what this is all about, is college football, who have more money than anybody else, apparently not having enough money and needing to take a buy now, pay later deal from private equity in order to, I don't know, keep themselves competitive or whatever they're telling themselves in order to talk their way into this being anything but a bad idea. Well, 16 of the 18 schools reportedly are interested. Two are not. That's Michigan and USC. And the way the reporting has been positioned, and I think there's been some pushback on this in recent days, so it's not as bad now. But when it was first coming out, the way this reporting was worded was, well, Michigan and USC are going to have to decide if they want to be part of the Big Ten's deal. And if they're not, then the Big Ten quite possibly could go ahead with 16 out of the 18. There is absolutely zero chance that private equity investment at anything approaching the level proposed is on the table if Michigan and USC are not part of it. If Michigan and USC leave the Big Ten, it hurts the Big Ten a lot more than it hurts them. That's just the reality of the situation. There are, I don't know, 10 schools who are on that list, 15, where they're big enough to be bigger than a conference. We talk about Notre Dame in that category a lot because they're the only one actively flexing that muscle with their independent NBC TV deal and remaining independent in football with just the ACC affiliation for scheduling purposes. And so Notre Dame kind of flies that flag alone in some ways. But what Notre Dame can do, Michigan and USC and a handful of other schools can do too. Now, could Michigan and USC get their own independent TV deal of the level that Notre Dame has with NBC? Probably not. But could they join together? Keep in mind, Notre Dame and USC and Notre Dame, Michigan are historic rivals. Michigan and USC, obviously much less so, but they're two of the most historic programs in college football. And they now have a little bit of history together from having played together in the Big Ten. So they've got enough. That's an awfully attractive triumvirate of Notre Dame, Michigan, and USC. Are you telling me that an independent Notre Dame, an independent Michigan, an independent USC, who decide that instead of joining a conference, or in Notre Dame's case, instead of continuing their ACC scheduling affiliation, they're going to band together, the three of them, and not form a conference, but they're going to operate as independents in some way, and they're going to have a scheduling affiliation with each other. They're each going to play each other every year, and they're going to put together the best independent schedules they can, and they're going to go out and try to get a TV deal together for their home games? You think CBS isn't lining up for that? You think CBS doesn't look at that and say, you know, that's a little bit better than doing our lousy number three Big Ten game every week? I don't know if you've run down the CBS college football schedule for their mid-afternoon kickoff this year. They have lousy games. It's certainly not LSU and Alabama. It's certainly not Georgia and Florida. It's certainly not Tennessee and anybody, right? It's not the way that they used to be going with the SEC. And everybody knew that was going to be the case, right? CBS didn't want to get rid of the SEC. The SEC saw something attractive in ESPN, and there are a couple of things attractive about that deal. I don't think the SEC, in fact, I think not only was it not wrong from the SEC standpoint, it might have been malpractice from Greg Sankey and the SEC if they didn't see through and ultimately take that deal with ESPN. Because think about the benefits they get. First of all, there's a huge benefit in having only one TV partner. Now, they spread those games out, ABC, ESPN, ESPN2, SEC Network. But ESPN is the only corporate entity that is coordinating with the SEC on their scheduling and on their games. What that means is the SEC has been able to improve the fan experience by declaring kickoff times for the season a lot earlier, and even on the games where they wait until typically 2 weeks out, the way most of college football TV scheduling works, they're able to give a range that they announce well before the season. So for folks buying tickets and making travel plans, even if they don't, they might have a kickoff time well in advance, months in advance. Even if they don't, they likely have a range. This game is going to be played somewhere between noon and 3:30 Eastern time, or it's going to be played 3:30 Eastern time or later. This helps decide when are we going, what hotel night are we getting, which game are we going to pick out of these options, right? It's very fan-friendly in that way. It's also TV-friendly because ESPN can do a lot of shuffling, and they can wait on things and what stations they want to put what games on, and they dominate because they have the most culturally relevant conference in college football, and they own all of it. The other benefit for the SEC is a soft benefit, but I think the biggest one, and I wonder how much they talked about it going in, which is that then you are ESPN's primary focus, and ESPN is the machine that drives sports narratives in the United States. Opinions, I think, among sports fans on ESPN probably never lower than they are right now. Like, ESPN's stock among in the minds of the common fan, the perception of ESPN is not in a very good place. But that being said, ESPN still drives narratives. ESPN is still the primary driver of narratives in sports, especially in college football. And the SEC gets a benefit out of that. I don't think ESPN exclusively favors the SEC, as evidenced by the fact that they're going to Pittsburgh for a quasi-ACC game between Notre Dame and Pitt for College Game Day on Saturday. And we're going to talk about that later in the show because that has a different issue with it. All of this is to say that CBS has gotten left out by losing the SEC. And the Big Ten in this private equity deal is making a big mistake. If those 16 schools think that they can strong-arm Michigan and Southern Cal into taking private equity money they don't need and they don't want, they have another thing coming. Because what really happens is they leave the Big Ten. The conference suffers as a result. The average share going to schools lowers, because both of those schools are above the average or above the median line. And so the overall pool of money coming in on rights fees goes down in greater proportion than diluting from 18 shares down to 16 goes. Right? Does that make sense? So, yes, every school gets more in the sense that they now get 1/16th instead of 1/18th, but the pool of money is going to decrease so much because Michigan and USC are above the fold, if you will, in that conference, that 1/16th is actually going to be less money than 1/18th was before, because the pool is going to be smaller. There won't be so much money. And Michigan and USC are going to be just fine. And they would call Notre Dame, and Notre Dame would say, jump on in. The water's just fine. We're going to figure something out with NBC, where we already have this longstanding arrangement. Maybe we'll do something with CBS, because they're going to be desperate. Maybe we'll work something else out. And I would bet you Michigan and USC, if in that scenario, make more TV money annually, which is what this is about, make more TV money annually than they do right now in the Big Ten. It would be convoluted, and it would be a risk. It would be a risk. And it would have potentially complications for other sports that they'd have to sort out, because this would be a football decision that affects hundreds of other student-athletes and a dozen, two dozen other teams. Michigan's case, it might be three dozen. That's a lot to consider. There would be a lot of risk here, but from a football standpoint, Michigan and USC almost certainly come out better. So it's a rare circumstance where I think private equity and the Big Ten Conference might be getting themselves a little deeper into this fight and not be leveraged properly against a couple of huge brands that have a lot of say over their own destiny. Frankly, I would love to see a world where Michigan and USC are independent and they get some kind of scheduling consortium going on with Notre Dame, maybe try to recruit in a couple other conferences, Clemson and Florida, or a couple other schools, Clemson and Florida State, not thrilled with the ACC. Imagine that. Imagine you start with growing together what is not a conference, but kind of a made-for-TV scheduling consortium. That is very 2025 college football. And those schools drive viewership. They drive revenue. So the Big Ten better be very careful. They are on thin ice. We'll talk to Blair Kirkhoff next. He covers the Chiefs for the Kansas City Star. The Chiefs are coming off their bye. They lost to the Buffalo Bills last time we saw them a couple of weeks ago, and they're on the road in Denver. That's coming up after this.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Honeymoon, here we come. Where's our car?
It's been stolen.
We'll call our insurance agent. I'm right here.
Oh, hey, Jen. You got our invite.
Love the dress.
Are we covered for this?
Of course. That's why you chose Auto Owners. We work together to get the right coverage. So when the unexpected happens, you know you're covered.
That's simple human sense.
Now, how do we get to the airport?
Take mine.
Thanks, Jen.
Ask your independent agent if Auto Owners make sense for you.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them, and you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates, so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
With Great Bar Sports Open Line on this Thursday evening. Nate Gatter back with you, working on getting player Kirkhoff for you from the Kansas City Star. He covers the Chiefs, who enjoyed their bye week last weekend. So we haven't seen them in action now for over a week and a half. The Sunday, November the 2nd, was their last game up in Buffalo, a 28-21 loss for the Chiefs to the Bills. A game where, frankly, the Chiefs never looked all that good. Patrick Mahomes completed fewer than 50% of his passes, just 15 out of 34, 250 yards and an interception for Mahomes in the game. He was thoroughly outdueled by Josh Allen, who was 23 of 26 through the air, 273 yards and a touchdown that he threw to Dalton Kincaid, who had 100 yards on the game receiving for the Bills. And Allen added a pair of rushing touchdowns as well. One of the key moments in the game was the end of the first half, when Buffalo was able to keep the Chiefs out of the end zone. And ultimately, the Chiefs settled for a very short 19-yard Harrison Butker field goal just seconds before the first half expired. And as a result, Buffalo was able to hang on with a 7-point win in the fourth quarter. Now, the Chiefs still only lost by 7 on the road against one of their primary AFC rivals for the AFC title and for making a run of the Super Bowl. So maybe in some ways that's almost impressive in retrospect, that the Chiefs played as uninspiringly as they did and still came within 7. But the road ahead for them is not a particularly easy one, because they're in the middle of, with the bye week, three games out of 4 on the road. They'll play the Broncos in Denver, 3:25 Central Time kickoff on Sunday. Then they'll be back home against the Colts, who have been, you know, the big surprise in the NFL this year and have run themselves in a position to fight for the one seed in the AFC. So you're talking about, you know, back-to-back games against the two of the three best records in the AFC. The three teams in the AFC at 8-2, the Colts, the Broncos, and the New England Patriots. And it's the Broncos and then the Colts in that order for the Chiefs these next couple of weekends. Two of the three best records in all the football, in fact, because nobody in the NFC is better than 7-2. So the AFC has the three best records in football, and frankly, none of them belong to teams that anybody would have put in that kind of stratosphere coming into the year. And then they'll be playing on a short week on Thanksgiving on the road against Dallas. And, you know, the Cowboys, not world beaters, but playing them on the road on Thanksgiving when, you know, they'll be up for it. And on the short week, traveling, anything could happen there. The schedule, I suppose, softens up a bit down the stretch. They play the Titans and the Raiders on the road in two of their last three games, sandwiching a home game against Denver and home games as well in December against Houston and the Chargers. So maybe it gets a little bit softer at the end compared to the difficulties they're going to endure here in November. Thankfully for them, they have that bye. But this is, frankly, a critical game coming up against the Broncos, because were the Chiefs to lose this game, their path to winning the AFC West is just about gone. They'd be 5-5. They would be 3.5 games back of Denver and the AFC West. And as it is, they're in third place, 3 games behind, or 2.5 behind Denver, I should say, and a game and a half behind the Chargers, who are 7-3 in second place. So the path to an AFC West title is already a bit of a winding one for the Chiefs, and losing in Denver would make it very, very challenging. And the Broncos are 5-0 in home games this year. They've won 7 games in a row, and they're 5-0 at Mile High in 2025. The Chiefs just 1-3 away from Arrowhead this season. So a tall task certainly is in front of Kansas City, and it's easy to see this kind of spiraling on them, because you don't see in these next three coming out of the bye that kind of stabilizing win in theory on the schedule. Now, I imagine they'll be favored at home against the Colts, probably by a little bit. So it's not, certainly not out of the question they could win two or even all three of these games. And if they were to win all three, then you're going into December saying the Chiefs are, if not in the driver's seat, certainly back in contention to win the AFC West championship. they're going to get healthier. Although I don't know that, say, like Isaiah Pacheco's health is really a needle mover for me as far as the Chiefs are concerned. But the bye week does help for getting healthy and for making sure that they're in the right place going forward. But it feels like a passing game that should be better given the weapons they have. You know, Travis Kelce is maybe not what he was, but he's still definitely a value add, especially when Mahomes is playing off schedule and plays break down. I think there's a lot to like about that connection still, just as there always has been. And then obviously Rashee Rice looks like he's going to be a top receiver in the league for a long time. And Xavier Worthy has his limitations and I think is to a degree redundant to Rashee Rice in the sense that there are things that Worthy was doing during those first six games of the season when Rice was suspended that now Rice is doing. But Worthy has value, if for nothing else, than being a guy who can take the top off the defense and open things up underneath for both Kelce and Rice, who are comfortable, in particular Kelce operating in those half spaces, and Rice so good running with the ball after the catch as well. So I feels like they should be a little bit more explosive, and maybe that's, you know, the old shell defense's issues that everybody's run into, all the explosive offenses have, that if you can't run the ball as well, you're going to have issues. And, you know, that's one of the takeaways. I didn't mention it going through the numbers initially. One of the takeaways from the Chiefs' loss in Buffalo is not so much that Mahomes didn't play well with completing fewer than 50% of his passes. Part of it is that the Chiefs were down all the way and that he was throwing the ball a lot and that the Bills were able to play the pass because the Chiefs were not running the ball with consistency. Meanwhile, Buffalo handed the ball to James Cook 27 times for 114 yards. He didn't score a touchdown. Josh Allen took his 2 1-yard touchdowns with sneaks, and then Ty Johnson got out there to take his 3-yard touchdown. So poor James didn't get a touchdown despite carrying the ball 27 times for 114 yards. But it proved that the Bills can do something that at times recent iterations of the Bills it's felt they couldn't do, which is grind it out. The Bills controlled the ball. They controlled the clock. They controlled the game, really. It felt like the entire game was played on their terms. Part of that is being in Buffalo. But it felt like they controlled it. It could be a very interesting AFC playoff picture. If we imagine the Chiefs get a wild card, we're looking at a very different AFC playoff picture than we have at any point in recent years. And at this point, it's more likely than not that the Chiefs are a wild card team and that that's their route into the playoffs. It's certainly not preordained, not set in stone, but it's possible. It's likely, I would say. If that happens, what if the AFC road goes through Denver or Indianapolis or New England? Not that that's a new thing, but it feels new. The Bills look to me like the best team in the AFC. But they're coming off losing by 3 scores to the Dolphins. So what do you make out of that? You know what? This feels like a good time, with just a minute or two left in this segment, because we're going to have Frank Cusumano coming up next, to ask Kyle Sixta, what do you make of that? Kyle Sixta, the AFC, your conference, the home of your Houston Texans, what do you make of this conference right now? And at what point do we have to just say, no matter what we thought coming into the year, the Broncos, the Colts, the Patriots are proving things about who they are that we have to take seriously?
That Broncos defense is good. Let me start by saying that, Nate. Like, that is a legit defensive unit, and they are the reason that they're leading the division and they have the 8-2 record that they do. I do think there's a good chance, especially if the Chiefs do take both of those head-to-head games coming up against the Broncos, that they do end up coming back and winning the division. With that being said, if I had to pick a team, it's the Chiefs in the AFC, right? I mean, they've been there, they've done that, they have Patrick Mahomes. I know that's, you know, not the answer that some people want to hear because it's like, oh no, the Chiefs again. But I mean, at some point, especially in a wide open AFC, like, they just feel inevitable sometimes. And I am buying into the Colts. They're very good, especially in the trenches, offensive and defensive. The Broncos, like I said, great defense. Drake May is amazing. Their defense is great. So those are three legit teams. But again, the Bills, you just lose by 3 scores to the Dolphins. They got blown out by the Falcons earlier in the year. So it's like their defense doesn't look as great as it's been, and those better Bills teams haven't beat the Chiefs. So why do I think it's going to happen this year?
I'll tell you this. I've seen enough of the Chiefs now to say that if you were giving me the Chiefs versus the field in the AFC and you're taking the Chiefs, I'm very comfortable taking the field. I think it's unlikely the Chiefs are the AFC champion now this year. But the issue with that is I don't see anybody else stepping up to clearly grab it.
Right.
Because other than that, you have three teams, two with very young quarterbacks and one with a quarterback who's never been there, done that in the playoffs. So in some ways, a young quarterback in that sense. The Chargers are maybe appealing just because of the makeup of the team, the coaching staff, quarterback combination. There are things to like there. I will say also, it feels weird to say dark horse because, again, they're not sneaking up on anybody. But I am very serious still about the Baltimore Ravens, who I think are the overwhelming favorite in my mind at this point to win the AFC North because they're already only a game behind Pittsburgh. That advantage that the Steelers had from Lamar Jackson's timeout has pretty much disappeared. And the Ravens are coming hot on their heels and look likely to win. What if we get a first-round game, the Ravens hosting the Chiefs? The Chiefs might have the better record, but the Ravens win the AFC North. There are some TV networks, especially ones, you know, your ESPNs, who just get the one wild card game, and that's their involvement. Now, they're going to be getting in the Super Bowl rotation, but the networks that have limited involvement in the later stages of the postseason, they're salivating at the idea of having the Chiefs on wild card weekend, potentially going on the road. There could be lots of very interesting narratives, but still have a whole second half of the season almost left to play. If you want to follow along with the Chiefs, you can do it right here on KMOX, members of the Chiefs Radio Network. That game coming up Sunday afternoon, the Chiefs in Denver to play the Broncos, and you can hear the Chiefs Radio Network coverage with Mitch Holtis and company right here on KMOX. Frank Cusimano coming up after this. Nate Gatter back with you in for Matt Pauly this Thursday evening. Frank Cusimano is with us. You know him from KSDK. Frank, how you doing?
Good to be with you, Nate. Hope you're doing well, sir.
We are doing great, wrapping up this second hour. And so the task is tall in front of you to entertain the people coming down the stretch here. Let's start with the story that's been making some waves out of the initial GM meetings as we kind of get the stove cranked up in baseball's offseason, with the rumors that Brendan Donovan is a player very much in demand in trade talks is maybe it overstating it, who is in demand in trade interest, who's commanding a lot of interest from other teams. What do you make of that smoke? Is there some fire in there?
Yeah, oh, definitely, because they're going to have to address their pitching needs. And let's face it, they only have two players, Nate, who you could move and get real quality talent back. And that's Brendan Donovan and Alec Burleson. And the fact that Burleson is under control for a longer period of time and Donovan plays the position where the Cardinals have some real options, you know, he's the guy you have to move. And it's really strange because he's your all-star, he's your best player, but he's the only guy that makes sense in a trade.
Do you have a sense yet in your conversations with Heim Bloom of what, if anything, do you think, what areas, if any, do you think he'll depart a bit from the ethos of the John Mozeliak era?
Well, you know, I think that he's going to have to bring in starting pitching because, as we speak, it's McGreevy, Libitor, and then somebody out of the bullpen because they'll move Sonny Gray. So I think, you know, John Mozeliak tried, to his credit, to move Nolan Arenado, and Arenado just completely screwed everything up when he said no to the Houston deal, which I still will never understand. And now you're trying to move a third baseman that still makes ridiculous money, who has an OPS under 700. It's going to be a real tall task, but he's going to be more aggressive in moving Arenado. I mean, he basically told me, Nolan knows it, we know it. They're just not going to get much in return. They're going to have to pick up a big chunk of the contract. And you also, this offseason, as opposed to last offseason, have Sonny Gray now open to the notion to making a trade. I mean, Nate, let's face it. It makes no sense for Sonny Gray to make $35 million on a rebuild in St. Louis next year. So he's got to be moved. And then I think Donovan would be the third.
And critically, it probably makes no sense to Sonny Gray either, right? Because although he was bought into being here, and I think he's enjoyed his time here in many ways, you know, he doesn't have a lot of interest at this stage of his career in being part of a rebuild either.
Yeah, it is kind of it's just a marriage that's got to end. And he's kind of a different guy. I know you've been around him too, but like, he's like one of the few pitchers in baseball who goes to his manager in the fourth or fifth inning and says, I'm done. And look, I'm not going to deny he's been an effective pitcher and he's had a fine career. But, you know, give me Max Scherzer, who wants to bite the manager's head off when he tries to take him out of the game. So I appreciate the Cardinals being aggressive and spending, you know, $75 million on a three-year deal with Sonny Gray. But it doesn't make sense for the organization or for him to be in a Cardinal uniform.
Frank Cusumano, KSDK, is with us. Frank, I know you're a big hoops guy, of course, and the area hoops teams, both St. Louis and Missouri, impressing in the early season. Mizzou, a resounding win last night over Minnesota, dominant second half, and St. Louis will have maybe the first measuring stick of the year, welcoming Grand Canyon in on Saturday to Chaffetz Arena. What have you made of the Tigers and the Billikens so far?
Well, let me lead with SLU, and I've been watching them for 33 years. I actually played against them in the 80s when I was at UMSL. This is the deepest team they've ever had. And, you know, I saw good teams from Ford and Majerus and Cruz and Grauer and Spoonhauer. They've never had like 9 or 10 guys. I mean, the guy I interviewed today, Nate, was Ish Sharma from Virginia. He's shooting 58% from three. He, I think, in a game of horse, could beat Gibson Jimerson. He's one of these, what I call shootaholics. I asked him about this today. He goes to the gym at night because he just feels comfortable in the gym alone shooting basketballs. He told me today that in one stretch during practice last year, he made 51 threes in a row. And he's like their sixth best player. I mean, that's how deep they are. You know, Robbie Avila is the best player in the conference. Kellen Thames, when you try to guard him, it's impossible. He goes around everybody. And then the Quentin Joneses of the world. They're just deep, and I really like Josh Schertz. He's one of these guys who spends his off season not vacationing in Florida, but like in the Oklahoma City, you know, coach's office and picking great coaches' minds.
Frank, before we get to Missouri, I want to ask you what everybody's thinking now. How many minutes would a 21-year-old Frank Cusumano get on this Bills team?
I would get zero. Yeah. You know, I will say this. If my junior year at UMSL, we beat them, which gives you an idea of how bad SLU was, and then they came back, and I got an offensive charge call against me my senior year, it was like a minute to go, and it cost us the game. Not that I remember these things.
Well, Frank, we appreciate you being here with us. Before we let you go, I do want to get your thoughts on Mizzou and that 4-0 start.
Nate, I got to tell you, I was really impressed with that second half last night. And here's what I really love is Mark Mitchell, and I'm not trying to compare him to Giannis, but there's one similarity, is that Giannis became great when he realized, I'm not a three-point shooter. And I know everybody wants to think they are three-point shooters. They're not. And Mark Mitchell is really good at getting to the rack. Don't try to, you know, enhance your NBA career in Columbia, Missouri this year. Do what you do better than anybody, and that's get to the rim. So I think when they get Trent Pierce back, and I really love this Trent Burns, this 7'5" guy who's always hurt, but I've seen him play. He has some really neat skills. You know, I think that they're like the seventh best team or the eighth best team in the SEC, and that may be good enough to get to the tournament. And then next year with the best recruiting class in America, look out.
Number one recruiting class in America signed by the Missouri Tigers, completed with the signing of Crow today. So a three-man class, number one in the country, and certainly optimism there. Optimism about St. Louis. Could be a fun basketball season here locally, Mr. Cusumano.
We need it after what we've endured with hockey, with baseball, and with soccer. We need a winner in town, and I think SLU will provide that.
I hesitate to say you are absolutely right, because it has not been an easy last few months, has it? Frank Cusumano of KSDK joining us here on KMOX. Frank, thanks so much for taking the time.
Great to be with you, Nate. Thank you so much.
That will just about wrap us up. We got one more segment coming up here at the end of the second hour. Promised we would talk a little bit about College Game Day going to Pittsburgh. Why do we care? Why in St. Louis am I possibly talking about Notre Dame and Pittsburgh playing college football, let alone ESPN's College Game Day going there? Who cares? I'm going to try to convince you to care. Give me a chance. Give me a chance.
Listen.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
So you call your virtual insurance company to ask a simple question about your policy, but now you're on hold, listening to this music, while you wait and wait and wait. Auto Owners works with local independent agents who tailor coverage to meet your needs and pick up the phone when you call, because you shouldn't be on hold so long that you memorize the music. That's simple human sense. Ask your independent agent if Auto Owners makes sense for you.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed-sponsored jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed-sponsored jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored jobs boost your post for quality candidates, so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed sponsored jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I could be the twist, the one to make you stop. The icing on your cake, the cherry on the top.
Wrap it up, Gray Bar Sports Open Line this Thursday evening. Nate Gatter with you in for Matt Pauly, who we hope will be back next week. Matt is doing better, so head on over to Matt Pauly on air and shoot him a little tweet. Give him the well wishes. Tell him that Nate and Kyle sent you over. Although if you say that, you can maybe, you know, give him a little barb too. You can maybe mess with him a little bit. Whatever you want to do. We appreciate you being with us on Gray Bar Sports Open Line this evening. Back during our first hour, we talked to Drew King about Missouri men's basketball. Kevin Kalish joined us to discuss the St. Louis Billikens men's soccer team. They are playing for the A-10 championship against Dayton. That game will be at Herman Stadium at noon on Sunday over in Midtown St. Louis. Tickets at slubillikens.com. And we also visited moments ago with Frank Cusumano, talked about a bunch of stuff, the Cardinals and their offseason situation, the St. Louis Billikens, and he is not the first person on these airwaves to say that St. Louis has the deepest team in program history this year, certainly in recent program history. Bob Ramsey, who has seen a lot of Billikens basketball as well, our play-by-play man for the Bills here on KMOX, has been doing it for 40 years now, and he said this is the deepest St. Louis team that he has seen. So a lot of institutional basketball knowledge in St. Louis between those two, and they agree that this is an extraordinarily deep and uniquely deep St. Louis Billikens team. And we talked as well about the Missouri Tigers and their 4-0 start with Mr. Cusumano. Mentioned it briefly, didn't get a chance to talk much more about it, but the Billikens men's basketball team will be hosting Grand Canyon at Chaffetz Arena on Saturday night. And that is a big game because St. Louis, as we talked about with Josh Schertz, the head coach of the Bills during his interview with us on Tuesday evening, it is not easy right now for the high-end mid-majors, low-end high majors, however you want to classify the A-10s, the American conferences, the Mountain Wests of the world. It is not easy for them to schedule power conference opponents, period. Certainly, it's not easy to schedule home-and-homes or two-for-one deals, which is what SLU wants. Those deals are very difficult for them to get any games against power conference opposition. And why is it difficult? Well, because they got Iowa for a preseason scrimmage that doesn't count and reportedly smacked the Hawkeyes. And Ben McCollum and Iowa would rather not get smacked in a game that's nationally televised and counts at the end of the year. That's the calculus. It's really that simple, that the upside is not significant enough to outweigh the considerable downside to those schools of losing a game, especially at home, to those, we call them quad two teams in the net rankings. Those would most likely be quad two games for those teams in the power conferences who are in the top 30, 40, 50 in the net. And so they don't necessarily want to deal with those kinds of games. They'd rather, as Josh Schertz said, play a lot of quad one games, and most of them during their conference season, and play a lot of quad four games against the bottom part of college basketball, the bottom quartile in the non-conference. So you kind of got to take your opportunities where you can get them, and SLU had trouble putting together as compelling, as difficult a non-conference schedule as they wanted. As a result, Grand Canyon is about as big a home game as there's going to be for the Billikens in non-conference this year, and a good measuring stick for a St. Louis team that has a lot of folks excited, especially with their offensive upside. All right, I promised that I would convince you to care about College game day going to Pittsburgh for the Notre Dame-Pitt game on Saturday. Why should you care? Because although this is an ACC game and not an SEC game, and ESPN is most often accused of SEC bias, and in fact, this is the second time in recent weeks that they have not gone to an SEC game, because they also went to that Cincinnati-Utah game a few weeks ago. What's more important to me is that over the last couple of years, since ESPN has had all of the SEC, they go to more SEC games, and especially more Power 2 games, if you will, SEC Big 10 games, than ever before. Much higher proportion the last couple of years, which is a small-ish sample size, but not tiny. And you know what they're not doing at all anymore all of a sudden? Is going to Group of 5 games, going to FCS games. Convince me, bring me a story that I don't know. This is maybe a philosophical difference that I have with most viewers. Maybe ESPN has a better sense of their viewership than I do. They probably do. They pay a lot of money to know what their viewership is and what it wants. Let's say there are two options here. One is to go to an SEC game and see a couple of teams who are on game day almost every year, maybe multiple times a year, who are on national television in prime time frequently, who are discussed at length, who are dominant themes in college football. Do I really need Georgia and Alabama on game day again? Not anything against them. I do a lot of those games for Westwood One. I called Georgia and Alabama this year. It was great. It's a great time. Doing Texas and Georgia in a couple of nights. And I'm very much looking forward to it. I'm not saying I want to give up those games to go to Lindenwood. No offense to Kyle Sixta, my producer. That's why I chose Lindenwood, not because I have anything against them. I only have things against Kyle. But college game day to me used to also be about telling me about the rest of the sport. Think about when they went to Fargo those first couple of times for North Dakota State. And it's not like North Dakota State is really off in the barren unknown of the sport. I think they're pretty well known now among people who follow college football. Take me to a Division II rivalry, Division III rivalry. Show me something different and show me how that's great too. I think we're losing that in the professionalized era of college football, that college football is great for Texas and Georgia and Alabama and LSU and Ohio State and Michigan and Notre Dame and Southern Cal. College football is great too for all the other levels and the way it makes us care about our schools and our communities. It doesn't always have to be about the biggest schools and the most dollars. That's our show for tonight. Producer Kyle Sexton, Nate Gatter saying so long. Hope you'll be back with us for Great Bar Sports Open Line again tomorrow night on KMOX.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Honeymoon, here we come. Where's our car?
It's been stolen.
We'll call our insurance agent. I'm right here.
Oh, hey, Jen. You got our invite.
Love the dress.
Are we covered for this?
Of course. That's why you chose Auto Owners. We work together to get the right coverage. So when the unexpected happens, you know you're covered.
That's simple human sense.
Now, how do we get to the airport?
Take mine.
Thanks, Jen.
Ask your independent agent if Auto Owners make sense for you.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.